welcome again to the Essential Install podcast series. I'm David Kitchener, the Managing Director of All Things Media Limited, the company that brings you Essential Install magazine and the EI Live exhibitions, amongst other projects. Since these podcast series began, we've covered many people and topics related to our industry, the AV and home automation industry, from industry associations, distributors, manufacturers, custom install companies, with a view to ascertain what they can offer the industry and how they can help the installer and integrator do their job better. With this podcast, we're concentrating on lighting, as we are joined by the award-winning Rayco Controls, the UK's leading smart lighting controls manufacturer, who recently picked up awards at our Smart Building Awards for the best lighting control. And to add to that, Rayco won the best hardware category at the recent CEDIA EMEA Awards for their modular keypads. Apart from winning awards, Rayco also have their 20th anniversary this year, which we'll come to later. So I'm delighted to be joined on this podcast by Rayco's Managing Director Paul Wafer and fellow director Peter Broom.
Good morning.
Hi, David.
Good to see you both as always. And as with all our podcasts, we are also joined by Daniel Sate, our illustrious editor of Essential Install magazine. Welcome, Dan.
Hi there, everyone. Good to be back again and good to be talking about lighting as the darker days and darker months are on. It's a good time to be talking about this, I think.
It's a great subject. Just to add one thing before we start, coincidentally, I had a call this morning from the Homey Group, who obviously picked up the fact that we are recording this with you guys at Rayco. And for everybody out there, Rayco are sponsoring the Homey Press-Up Challenge today, raising money for cancer research. So if anybody would like to donate to this very worthy cause, visit the Homey Group on Facebook. Paul, Peter, you've been doing your press-ups, or you're not participating in that sense?
Can't you tell, David?
a little early at the moment, but yeah, I've been limbering up for them.
Have so you? I see the a lot of the homies, I don't know if you've been following the thread on Facebook, primarily on the Homey Group, but of course they're all doing it very well, 100 press-ups a day.
It's very impressive, yeah, really very
marvellous.
Impressive.
Marvellous. Yeah. Anyway, gentlemen, it's been quite a couple of months from an awards point of view. I believe awards are good for increasing the company awareness. What benefits do you feel winning awards to the company bring?
Well, I think it's twofold, really. One is the company awareness with Essential Install. It's our home market. It's the largest AV show in the UK. And with CEDIA, it's a much more global market. So it supports our distributors overseas. But I think the second thing is it just gives everybody at Rayco a bit of a lift. You know, they all work incredibly hard, and to see recognition like the two awards that we've had is really very rewarding for them. So it's obviously great for business, but it's really good for everybody at Rayco.
They do work externally very well, don't they? Because they kind of, well, you don't need your products verifying, but they kind of speak to the quality of your products. But of course people forget the internal relations, you know, and from an internal point of view, as you rightly say, I don't know how many staff you've got these days at Rayco, but I mean it lifts everybody, doesn't it, as you rightly say, and it makes them proud of the company they're working for.
It does, yeah.
How many employees you got at Rayco now, Paul?
40, about 40 at the factory and 40 at the offices, R&D and sales. So yeah, it's about 80 in total.
I think just to add there as well, I think it's quite exciting winning awards this year as well, particularly obviously for everybody in the industry. It's been a tough couple of years, and just getting everybody back together. You know, as Rayco as well, we're not renowned for getting ourselves out there quite so much. And I think this year it's been a real boost for the staff and yeah, real boost for everybody. So yeah, it's really quite exciting for us.
Mm. They do tend to be great networking evenings as well, don't they? And it's nice. We've got that kind of industry, haven't we? It's a very close industry, and it's nice getting everybody together for these things. And if you come away with an award, even better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think David, you know, credit on the you know, the exhibition. We've got lots of the you know, some of the exhibitions have got so large these days. I think there's a real market for the niche market, and everybody to get back together again and you know, have a chat, have a social. It's been really good.
Having mentioned the Waco's 20th anniversary, I must confess I love the fact that Waco's products are British designed and manufactured. It's nice to talk to a British manufacturer, I believe, as of course there doesn't seem to be too many British manufacturers left. Have you manufactured, I mean, you were founded, I think, in 2002, I believe. Have you manufactured, I guess, well, have you manufactured your own products from the outset?
Yes, we have. Yeah.
So when you started, when Waco started, that was it. You found a manufacturing plant and did it from scratch.
And it's the same plant that we started with as well. So both our facilities are still in the southeast of England, in Kent. We run them as two separate buildings, two locations. And all the R&D, all the support, is all done from the offices in Rochester. And the manufacturing, including all the electronics, is done down in Sittingbourne in Kent. So, yeah. 20 years is quite a big number. It doesn't feel that long, but yeah.
And look where you are now.
I think we are seeing more brands making more about the fact that they're manufactured in their home country. I think, you know, with everything we've been through in the last few years, has really underlined, you know, the fragility of some of the logistics that we have been relying on in terms of getting products from one part of the planet to another, when really the best way for everyone to be doing it is more localized production and distribution. And we know why things were made, you know, in the Far East and things, for, you know, for cost reasons and very, very good reasons in some cases. But I think in our market, where we're producing things of maybe a little higher in terms of build and standard, then those advantages start to look less like advantages and more like disadvantages, especially after the last sort of few years. So, you know, hopefully we'll see more of it.
It would be really good to see. I think we're, you know, as Paul said, as the company grew, we originally did outsource the manufacturing to a company. As Paul said, we're still using the same company, because what happened was, as our volumes increased, then we were doing more than 50% of their manufacture, at which point we bought the manufacturing. So it's all, you know, within the Rayco arm, if you like, now.
Yeah. I see you own the manufacturing plant.
Oh, yeah, no, that's part of, yeah. So Rayco own our own manufacturing. But, you know, as Daniel said, over the last couple of years, our volumes now have got to the point where you could go to the Far East and say, you know, make us X number of these and the cost would be much reduced. But the advantages do still outweigh the positives for manufacturing in the UK, that we've got much better control of what we want to manufacture. It does happen. You get certain products become popular one month as opposed to another month, or if you get a big job with a different type of product, we can adjust the volumes accordingly. We've got much more control over it. It's not a case of waiting for a shipment to come in. And obviously, as you know, shipments can take a long time these days. So we've got much, much better control over the, you know, what we want to manufacture, and that is a big plus for us.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah. Do you only manufacture for yourselves, or do you manufacture for outside companies?
We do a small amount of manufacturing for other companies. The facility's there, so it makes sense to do other electronic manufacturing. But the lion's share is the Rayco product. It really has been a godsend the last couple of years with COVID. You know, the shipping issues, component issues, you know, having our own factory, our own stock, it has been a huge advantage. And other than, I think, October last year, we got quite short of one particular product, but other than that, we've had no stock issues whatsoever. So it's been really quite good for us.
That's clearly the advantage, isn't it? You know, owning and controlling your own destiny in the manufacturing terms makes perfect sense.
And I think those things stick with people as well, don't they? Sort of, even if it's a product that you really like to use, if you've had those supply issues, you know, they live long in the memory, don't they? And people will tend to stick with suppliers that are going to be reliable.
I mean, no one wants to stock loads and loads of equipment. So it's down to the manufacturer to do that. And that's why, you know, globally, it's been quite hard the last couple of years with the component shortages. So, really, really very good. The other thing is for just a feel-good factor, you know, it's lovely to be able to go to the factory, see the products being made, see people being employed locally, there is that feel good factor too. So it's quite positive all round.
Do you do visits? Do you invite people to the manufacturing plant to have a look around?
Yeah.
Do you get integrators down there then to see what's what?
Normally it's at our offices in Rochester because they're coming in for training or viewing products, demonstrations, but it's always open for visitors, yeah.
And the R&D side, which is obviously tremendously important, quite obviously, how many people do you devote to R&D out of the 80 people you actually employ? Or is it pretty much you and Peter?
Well, we wouldn't be here if it was just Peter and I. I would say we've got probably 10% of our staff are dedicated to R&D. There is 8 to 10 people, yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to know a bit later on in this podcast. I'm interested to know what new stuff there is coming from you guys, but let's talk about that later. But regarding the anniversary, no doubt that gives you an opportunity to reflect on how far you guys have come in terms of driving lighting control technology forward. I guess you've seen a tremendous amount of advancement since Rayco's conception. It's not just an on-off switch or dimmer switch anymore, is it, these days? You've seen some amazing advancement over those years, over those 20 years?
We have, yeah. I mean, I still remember, this is pre-iPhone, so pre-apps, that we were amazed that we could send a text message to a project on north side of the Thames, stood on the other side, and operate the lights and curtains. And that was quite some time ago now. I think everybody's expectations of what products can do has changed over the last 20 years. You know, it's our job to keep up and keep pushing it forward. That's always the challenge.
Well, I remember when faxes first came in. I look 25, I'm a little older. And I used to be amazed that you can put a bit of paper in with type on it and it comes out the other side of the world as a bit of paper with type on it. Could never understand that. I understand, actually, recently I heard this week that they're ditching faxes. No one's manufacturing faxes anymore because no one ever uses them.
I saw that on the news, and it's a shame because we still have a fax in the office, and you know, it used to be it would click a few seconds before something would come out, and it would always be quite exciting hearing that click. But you don't get that with emails these days. So yeah.
No, I bet in the early days, like us, Paul, you were when that click came, you thought there was an order coming through, so it was quite exciting.
But Rayco did have the. I'm just remembering the first app that Rayco introduced. I think it's fair to say we were probably one of the first lighting control manufacturers to have our own dedicated app. So that was on the old iPhone 3. So
It was 3 or 3GS.
That's a claim to fame.
I would have to check those numbers, those dates, but I think it was certainly one of the first. And but it's obviously moved on from now. From then, it was it's just expected to have your own app now. And again, that's advancing. Yeah, every year.
Oh, absolutely. There seems to be a lot of innovation going on at Rayco HQ these days in Rochester. Nice place, Rochester. As you know, Paul, I live there as well. Mm. Did you know that?
Yeah, I do, yeah. The offices are just up the road, yeah.
Yeah, well, I've been to the offices, but I've not seen the new setup. When I say that, we'll come on to that. But the innovation that seems to be going on down there with the refreshed app, the EOS range of wired and wireless keypads and the hub interface, tell us a little bit about those.
Well, again, at Rayco, we've introduced two new ranges of keypads over the last few years. So we have got the modular keypad and the EOS keypads, the EOS being with metal buttons, and the modular keypad, which basically has up to 12 buttons, but you can have three different sizes of buttons, a small one, mid-size, and large button.
Well, of course, Peter, you call it EOS, I call it EOS, but that's because I'm a humble publisher, you see. I'm not as technical as you lighting guys.
Yeah, so basically the modular is designed to have any different combination of button layout. So it's a very, very flexible design. Now, one of the things at Rayco that we've tried to do over the years, because we have a wired and wireless range of keypad, we do both designs, both EOS modular and our original classic keypad, both come in wired and wireless, and they look identical. So it just means with projects, if you're doing a design, that you can mix and match both wired and wireless systems. So you can have a wired system within a project, and if you want to add keypads, you can just add wireless keypads, and they look the same. So quite unique in that respect, having the keypad range, having both wired and wireless throughout.
And the new app is something to a lot of people have been talking about that in a good way, of course. It's called the Refreshed app, isn't it?
It is, yes. Like Peter said, we've had a controls app for iOS and Android for many years, but like everything, we need to keep things refreshed. So we spent a bit of time and effort getting a new look to it.
And it's which you've just introduced, haven't you, Paul?
Yeah, it was in the last few months it became live, yeah.
Okay. I note that a new supply partnership was announced with QMotion fairly recently. How does that manifest itself?
Well, Rayco, even though that the majority of our control systems are actually hardwired, Rayco's sort of core foundations was always wireless lighting control. And as part of a control system, quite often people are wanting to control their motorized blinds. And QMotion have a very good battery option for that. And it just seemed an obvious synergy to put the two products together. So we've now got native control over their RF battery product. Just makes life easier for dealers.
Partnerships work very well in business, I think. You know, that both parties or several parties can come to the table, and they've got different skill sets. Makes perfect sense. Any other supply partnerships on the cards to come? You can't say. Okay.
I guess since the outset with Rayco, we've always focused and we've always specialised in lighting control, and that's what we do. That's what we do best. We've looked at looking at doing other things, but we do focus on the lighting control. But as part of that, we like to be open and be able to communicate with as many other manufacturers as possible. You know, the curtain and blind manufacturers, Silent Bliss, we work very closely with, but all of the other audiovisual systems, you know, so Elan, Control 4, so on and so forth, we can communicate. We have drivers for those products. So we just like to keep our system open. We'll work with, you know, any other manufacturer out there.
I think increasingly that a lot of installers and a lot of projects that we see anywhere, they look at kind of light, natural light control and artificial light control as, you know, as part of the same system now, just because they complement each other so well. And I think particularly at, you know, times of the year like this, where the sun is very low in the sky, you know, being able to kind of bring in something that controls glare, you know, you complement that with lighting. It's a really powerful thing for a lot of homeowners who just haven't had that level of sort of performance in terms of controlling their artificial light and also controlling sort of light coming into the home as well. You know, it really makes for a genuine sort of holistic sort of solution for people.
Essential Install Magazine is the leading title for the smart home, AV and home cinema markets. Packed monthly with news, views, features, products and case studies, it's a must read for any integration company looking to source new products and increase their profits. If you'd prefer to get your smart home and high quality AV news online, then get along to essentialinstall.com. Updated daily with news, product releases and case studies. Essential Install is the last word in smart home, AV and home cinema coverage. Don't miss out. Stay up to date with Essential Install in print and online.
Training, of course, is the lifeblood of our industry. It's very important not only to support the customers, but training them as well. I understand that Rayco offer a free design service to integrators and installers together with extensive training. The free design service, is that open to all installers, integrators?
With Rayco, one of the fundamentals of our business is support. So
very important.
We have, yeah, absolutely. And that's on both from a sales level and a technical support level. So on a sales level, then we will offer a design service. Obviously, we try and train all of our dealers to be able to put together their own systems and do as much as they can and be able to go out there and sell the brand, you know, sell light and control to their clients. So yeah, absolutely. We can do the help them with designs, go help them through the whole process. And then similarly, once it's designed and installed, once they're on site, and if they have any issues, then we have a technical support team, create 4 people pretty much full time on the phone in the office. Any issues on site, they can simply pick up a phone and we'll talk them through it, get them on TeamViewer and just help them through anything, just to give them real confidence when on site. And that's just a big part of our business. The support side of things is very important to us.
It has to be, doesn't it? Because as you rightly say, if they're on site and they can't, and they're having a problem with something, they need to pick up the phone, and clearly you've got that covered. And as far as training is concerned, with the investment that, I'd love to see this actually, but with regard to the investment that you put into the new training facility at Rayco HQ, I'm told it's a thing of beauty. I got chapter and verse from Colin Urie actually. Colin recently visited you and had the kind of guided tour. But tell us about
great guy, Colin. Yeah.
We all love him. If you're listening, Colin. Yeah. So, what about the new training facility? I've seen pictures of it. It looks pretty damn swish. What have you got in there? You can literally train. I know you've got a training area in there as well, haven't you?
It's split into two halves, really. We have an area that's a demonstration area with products on display, and complementary products like we've got an Elan touchscreen, Violet interface. We've got switches from Focus SB and M-Marcus. And then at the other end, we have dedicated, I think there's 6 pods where pairs of dealers can see the products and actually learn to install, program, and get a true in-depth understanding of what's not particularly about even just our products, but about lighting control. It's most of our training is about light sources, LEDs, how you control them, and using light and making advantage of what we're trying to achieve with the control system, rather than just selling them something that they believe they need. It's a pretty, we just used the time that we would have spent at ISE, because it was cancelled due to COVID, to improve the facilities that we've got at Rochester, and we use the same exhibition manufacturer to do that. He does a superb job. So yeah, we're very pleased with it, and everybody that's visited has given a glowing report back. So yeah.
And do you run specific training courses, or is it kind of people call you and say, look, I need to know more about this, and you say, come down and we'll run it through?
We do two standard courses. We do a foundation course and a software course. So one's an introduction to lighting and controls on our products, and the other is more a programming course. And then we run dedicated courses for people that maybe have a large hotel project and they've got a specific, you know, task to achieve, and then it's a dedicated one-to-one type training. So it's quite a flexible space.
How long are the two courses, the software course and the other course you mentioned?
They're both a single day.
Oh, okay.
So I think it goes to show just how straightforward we try and make things. So, yeah.
A lot of people took the opportunity during COVID, of course, to upgrade their showroom. And I think we've kind of got a battle of the showrooms, it seems, these days. I don't know whether you picked up my... I'm kind of hatching a little idea. I don't know whether you picked it up on social media the other day. I was actually on holiday sitting on the beach and I had this idea and I thought, well, I've got to put it out there to see what reaction I'd get. And that is, we introduce...
A beach party.
Oh, always up for that. Always up for that. Sadly, Rochester beaches aren't... they aren't up for those parties. But that said, with everybody upgrading and improving their program, their showrooms, the idea is to basically launch an award for the best UK showroom. And I put it out there. what we would have to do, we would have to obviously outline the specific criteria quite clearly, because one showroom's different to the next and so on and so on. But have a team of installers. Not like the mystery shopper. We want people to know they're coming. Although we could do a mystery shopper. Hey, you know, maybe.
I think that's a good idea, mystery shopper.
And of course they turn up and you're wanting to give them the guided tour of your showroom, and off they go, and they report back to us, and we come up at the end of the year. We'd have to, it will be a year long thing, I think. And we would then make a decision as to who the winners are, the first, second, third maybe, or something like that. Do you think that's a good idea?
That sounds like another award. Yeah, I think
I think it would work really well, because you've got everybody, literally everybody, have spent an awful lot of money. Clearly not everybody, but the majority of people we talk to now have spent an awful lot of money upgrading their showrooms. You know, from an installer point of view, they can bring their customers, the consumers. But no, it's just an idea I'm hatching. So kind of watch this space, really.
Yeah, I think. I'm guessing, you know, the manufacturers have come to the same conclusion. But, you know, during lockdown, we did take to doing online training.
Didn't everybody, though, Peter?
Yeah, well, yeah, and we did. And we
did it work, you know, for you?
No, this is what I'm saying, is that we gave it a go. We had to, you know. It seemed like a good idea at the time. And then initially think, oh, maybe this is the way ahead, online training. But it kind of hit home that face-to-face and getting people in and having that communication with people is most definitely the way to go. And you know, online is just simply not, it doesn't work for us, hence the showroom. And we need to get people in and show them our products and have that face-to-face communication.
I think that the phenomenon that we have seen in terms of, you know, people taking that opportunity to upgrade showrooms, demo spaces, etc., has to be a positive thing, because people, you know, in this industry, nothing substitutes, as you said, seeing the products work, seeing how they work. And that's true from an installer's point of view or an end user's point of view. And I think the it seems like an obvious point, but a big advantage the lighting sector has is that everyone already has it. They just don't have what they should have. Like, so not every home has a home cinema, so that's a big job in explaining to someone, well, you probably need a home cinema. But you're not starting from that point with lighting. You already have lighting. You just need this amazing new lighting that does what you want it to do in real time, or automates certain things, is more efficient, it's better looking. It's just, you know, I've never met anyone who hasn't seen an automated lighting system and gone, oh wow, I'll just have to have that, because it's 10 times better than what I've got already. It's a no-brainer. Whereas if you go into other categories, you can say, well, I don't know, home cinema's maybe just not my thing, or, you know, I'm just not into sort of music enough to have a multi-room music system. But everyone has lighting in pretty much every room already. So, you know, there's a big opportunity there, I think, to grow the sector.
It is, isn't it? And I think, you know, in recent surveys with dealers, then lighting is one of the key things that customers go for before other things. I know we were talking a bit earlier about sort of you know, innovations over the years, but one of the key innovations has been LED lighting, good or bad in some instances, but it's here and it's here to stay. It's very energy efficient, but what it has done is allowed such a vast array of light fittings now of different ways of lighting things, and it's given lighting designers, you know, another lease of life, if you like, to go and change the way they design rooms. And so it's given, as a lighting control manufacturer, as a real challenge as well. So being able to control all the different types of LEDs, be it controlling you know, constant current for the small fittings in your bathrooms, and just display lighting. But you know, as a result, it's given us, as a lighting control manufacturer, a real challenge. And it makes it really exciting. So you can really change the whole atmosphere of a room, just completely change the environment. So yeah, it's all good.
How much does the wellness side of things come into lighting now? I mean, the podcast that Paul joined us on quite a few months ago now, We had a lady that concentrated her efforts on lighting and wellness. Does the wellness side of it come in for you guys when you're talking to integrators out there, dealers?
It does. I mean, it seems to be the new buzzword of circadian rhythm and how our bodies react to light. And at this time of year particularly, lighting is incredibly important to keep people's energy levels up. And it's our job to try and make the technical side, the hardship of the technical side, easier for the end user. So control systems have a big key part in that.
And you talk to dealers and advise them along those lines?
Yeah, I think there's two halves to it. One is the actual light sources. They've come on leaps and bounds. And then the control of them is the part that we get involved with mostly. But people like Ray Lighting, you know, they specialize in the wellness factor for the lighting, making sure there's not the blue element of the spectrum, light spectrum, that keeps you awake at night. So there's an awful lot to it, and again, it's just another string to our bow as a controls manufacturer that we allow for. In fact, our new app has a color temperature control section to it, so that you can, for breakfast, you might want that your kitchen quite white, you know, to wake you up and get you going. But in the evening, you want to relax, and so you warm the color temperature up to make it much more inviting, like the candlelight type warm orange glow that's relaxing and gets you ready to sleep. So all of that, being able to preset it into a button on a keypad is quite brilliant. Yeah.
And you are having those conversations more and more. It's coming into the well-being side, the wellness side of things is coming into conversations more and more, is it?
I think we can see, you know, lighting designers, certainly on a commercial level, and, you know, on the domestic front, it is becoming more and more common now. So we are pushing that more with dealers. And it is becoming, people are becoming more aware of it. It is something that we've been doing for years, actually. So we've been doing mixing the color temperatures for many years. But the light fittings now, the lighting manufacturers are really sort of taking on board. So the solutions are becoming better. You've got the introduction of the DALI 8 standard now coming. So basically, we can just send a color temperature message, and it sends and get the color that you want at that particular time. So the challenge now is, a lighting control manufacturer, is to make it easier from the user point of view. So as Paul mentioned, we've got it in our newer app. You can have it timed, so you can have automatic changing of color temperature and so on and so forth. So it's making that awareness that it's a viable solution now to be able to do it. And it is something that's becoming more and more common within lighting designs.
On that particular note, sorry to harp on it, but do you feel there's an education job to be done with the dealers out there with regard to the wellness side of it?
I think there's a lot of research being done, and like everything, it needs to be commercialised, and normally that happens through commercial lighting installs and commercial AV. So once there's an acceptance to the benefits in a work environment, in a commercial environment, then I think it will then follow through down into the light fitting suppliers that do residential and tuck projects. I think
interesting.
Peter mentioned it's been around for many, many years. Hotels always used it for their entrance lobbies with cold cathode lighting in soffits. So you'd have it quite bright, very cool white in the mornings to wake everybody up, get them out. And then in the evening, they'd use a different tube to do a warm white, inviting, and get people in and spending money at the bar. But the LED technology has really allowed it to be commercialised on a volume scale. And that's where we see it now.
People have been aware in the commercial sector and the light commercial sector. But is it coming, just last question really on that subject, is it becoming more popular in the domestic residential side?
I think the last 6-12 months, you've seen manufacturers like Alluna actually have a product range dedicated to color change temperature. and not just a lamp that as you dim it down it warms up, but a lamp that you can have bright at different types of color temperature. And it's really has to be led by the availability of luminaires that that we can control. But the technology is there now, and I think over the next few years you'll see it increasing and being on specifications that the key areas in a property should have color temperature control. But
interesting.
Not to overcomplicate it, you know, make it easy for, you know, automate it so that it does it in the background, so people don't have to physically press, you know, do things.
I'd love to know, of course we can't tell, but I would love to know how much awareness there is to the actual end users, how much they feel about it, as opposed to, you know, talking to dealers and integrators. But no, it's an interesting subject. Okay, we've obviously covered a lot on this podcast, but last but not least, what do you guys feel is the, does the general lighting future hold? Are there two or three prong question, really? Are there new Waco products on the horizon that we should be looking at? What's the future for lighting, gentlemen?
I think short term it is the circadian rhythm, you know, color temperature control. That's if we're talking about the residential, you know, EI live market, it has to be the color temperature control is the next big move for lighting and lighting control. Beyond that, not so sure.
And in terms of new products coming from you guys, your R&D people are, I guess, developing ideas all the time. Maybe you can't talk about them, but do you have new products coming along that we should look out for, or is it just simply watch this space?
I mean, we're always busy developing new products. Some of the products are not necessarily things that like new keypad ranges are really exciting, but we're actually doing some other things behind the scenes which are for us equally exciting. And other ways of controlling things, the background way that we control the human centric lighting, circadian rhythm stuff. So we've got that, and we've got other additions coming through on the app, other integration projects, and more keypads as well. So watch this space.
So there's always something coming along, really. You clearly don't let the grass grow under your feet, as they say.
I don't think you can say, right, that's it, we're done. Sadly, no, we're always, as soon as one project is complete, the next one's halfway through. So there's always plenty to be done.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's good to hear you guys are doing well. Okay, I think that's about time. That leaves me to say thank you to Paul Wafer and Peter Broom from Waco Controls.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David.
Thanks to Daniel Say, editor of Essential Install magazine. So if you want coverage in the magazine, Dan's your man. The next podcast, the next podcast lined up is one not to be missed, I think, as we are talking about the future of the CI industry. Got quite a few people coming on to that one. Where the industry has been, where it is now, and what's the future for the AV and home automation industry. So that's not to be missed. Thank you for listening, and keep your ears open for the next in the Essential Install podcast series. Goodbye and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Essential Install magazine podcast. Please subscribe to this podcast in your chosen podcast app so you never miss an episode. Stay up to date with Essential Install in print and online. Visit essentialinstall.com.